all around traces of the past in the landscape with the stacks from the engine houses from various mines in that kind of direction. And then looking over here, the kind of rubble mounds from the granite, various granite mines on these hills over here. So it's the history writ in the landscape.
You can see the wall of the shaft. Look there, there's the shaft there.
See it?
Just
the
bottom of the tree.
Well, you can't see the shaft, but
underneath the wall,
the branch,
you know.
See the granite wall
that
there?
That tree and all have grown up there.
There's the circle there. It's full up now. He wasn't when I was a boy, like. You could throw... We used to throw big stones over and listen to them all drop down into the... Then hit the water, you know. Afterwards, there was an abattoir just where we come in there. And all the heads and all of the cows and all, they used to throw down the mine shaft. Throw them all down there. Yeah. Where are we going? Where's the woods to? Oh, here, silly Paddy Foreman. I've lost me bearings. We're up here. There's the footpath for the woods. That's right. Yeah, we've lost my bearings. For a minute, now I know where we are. Right, that's it.
Was Maine and Mazan, Vitalik, Griggs, Trezair, Tremaine's over Braes Quarry, and another one there, Brill, just opposite your place, Tristers Quarry.
That's right.
I don't know what the name of them was.
Brill Quarry, I think.
Brill Quarry, yeah, probably. Brill Quarry.
Look at the bluebells going up the side of the
steps. Oh, yeah. They are early, aren't they?
Yeah,
Sarah. Will there be enough for Florida?
Ah, yes, look. Yeah. It's a mouse plant.
See?
Look.
And it's even got a tail. Can you see it?
Lovely. You know, they were doing that for generations, two generations. No, my brother, my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, and my great-great-grandfather, five generations.
Oh, his grandfather started down here in the croft, in Medlands Croft, and he used to cut out coins and things like that, anything that he could get out from the stone down there. And then... they saw that he was doing very well and getting on, so they offered him the quarry. And he started the quarry up here, that's Jim's grandfather. And then later when they sold out, he bought the farm and the quarry.
My father was involved in the First World War and lost a leg. He was very strong though. Mm-hmm. I mean, he still worked in the quarry and climbed and did everything, you know, he was fantastic. He never let the leg bother him at all.
They used to make jokes about his leg when he went up to have it repaired. They used to say to him, do you walk around in the quarry without a boot? Because you know what granite's like, he'd bang the leg all around. He was, oh, terrible mess he'd get in it. He always had two legs. And when my, I don't know which one of the children was, went to stay somewhere once, they came home and said, their daddy hasn't got the leg under the bed. He always kept the spare one under the bed. So they could grab it if something went wrong with this one.
So there was a lot to know about safety. Fortunately, we never had anything bad. My mother used to deal with the first aid because we're a long way from a hospital, especially in the 30s. and she would do things like taking bits out of eyes, you know, dust that it was on an eyeball, she would get that out and seem to be able to cope with all those things.
Me? In the quarry? Oh, I was sort of a tea boy, warm pastures, and did any first aid that was necessary. All sorts of things I would have to come in, this, that and the other thing. Cuts, bruises. Yes, there's all sorts of odds and bods of injuries that they would do in a quarry. And it would save a lot of bother if they could come here and have them patched up for the time.
Do you know, I'm like exactly like my mother. I sit like my mother. It's like being beside her. Isn't it funny? And
will you all remember to look out for the animals so that I can bury these eggs or hide these eggs?
Yes.
I don't think there are any up here.
We just took it for granted that we would. I mean, we went to play in fields as well, but there was lots of things. There was water and climbing. We used to make gardens with all the rocks, you know, and hide and seek. And you know, it was a wonderful place to play.
Another animal here,
elephant.
If they were using explosives, we had to be sure we were gone before that actually took place.
Right, where does an elephant lay its eggs? From where?
That is so obvious if you're coming up here.
Yeah.
Underneath the trunk.
This was our main pool. This was great. We dammed all that. We dug out this. It was really deep. None of that was there. But you could slide off that rock when it was deeper and it was all muddy. You could slide off that rock. We used to literally run up there and then slide down that bank, and it was really slick mud. You slide into the pool, jump off that one.
And then you can tend to slide on your bum from the top of there down to the bottom.
You become a woodland person for a day, you know, you enter this completely other reality where everybody has magic powers and, you know, and this is your home and you build dens.
Christmas Day you would have a chocolate egg hunt, and there's always eggs on the stove. Same with Easter.
We once played hide and seek, which obviously is a great game to play in the woods, and our friend had wandered across some of that mud and sunk up to his waist. And so, in a way, it was nearly a too good hiding place.
We would start at the top of the stream and try not to get wet, and then make it down to like pretty much over there, and then realise that you're absolutely soaking, and then have to walk all the way back home with your like squelching wellies like full of water. Yeah, that's pretty much I think that's like one of the best bits, like a childhood down here. Because you just, and then you'd go down to the bridge over there and chuck sticks in one side of the bridge and then race them to the other side of the bridge.
I can remember that they were, you know, you could hear the men cutting because it sounded like bells, like music. You know, it was quite a pretty sound, and you'd hear them cutting. But then there were several quarries on the way to school in those days. You know, we just knew, you know, just accepted that was what people did. And the men, there would be lots of men walking to work, you know. Some of them had bicycles, but quite a lot would walk to work. About 1969, 1970, I think. But my brothers didn't want to take over, and my father wanted to retire. So that, you know, he was 70. So it must have been about 1965, but somebody else did work there for a little while, but not for long. But, I mean, you couldn't sell it because they could import from, I don't know, China, wherever, much, much cheaper. And, of course, people didn't want to, they wanted houses made of concrete. So that's the end of it, yes. And then they found other jobs, either in building or in the docks in Falmouth. So it was a complete change about they were, I think, on the way out before 1960. My father just kept going, but I don't think it was easy.
Notice when you walk down through it, it's very still, and I don't know whether it's the granite banks around it. I don't know whether it makes it feel like a different world down here.
Abattoir was behind that first bungalow. And that's where all the heads and bones and all was all thrown in there.
Get here is very from right down here. That gets a bit eerie because all the stones around. I don't know. It just seems a bit a different world. Even in the summer when it gets really hot down here, there's always wind blowing up the top. But when you get down here, there's no wind at all. Everything grows like a jungle. Yeah, it's just reverted to nature, isn't it? Really, nature taken over. It's just nice as a wild habitat-y place, and so much hard work was done in here.
it's all finished. There's one big quarry at Bodmin called Tlank Quarries, and that's the only one. I suppose it'll finish when I finish. So, you know, we don't have apprentices anymore.
People work further afield, didn't they? You know, years ago, everybody worked on the land and in the quarries.
Men all worked out here in the village of Mammoth Docks, didn't they?
Yeah.
Be the last of a long line of people trying to farm this, probably economically.
Pretty keen on farming. He's coming into the business. His partnership with us, me and my wife, on the farming side, and he's in partnership with her on the tourist side of the business. So I think he has a fairly good future as long as he's a pretty sensible boy. I don't think. You won't do nothing rash, and I think there is a definite future for his generation in farming, because there isn't going to be many of them that are going to continue. I think my generation have had it a little bit hard, but I think the time is coming where the world population is growing and food will be desperately needed.
The world demand and the world availability of the food for the supermarkets to tell you how much you're paying this week. Who determines that? I ain't got a clue. It's obviously the abattoir. The local abattoir, is only one in Cornwall that sets the price for most of Cornwall, but I don't know. I suppose that's part of the reason why the cattle have disappeared from the fields and stuff, isn't it, really? It's unpredictable.
One of the bigger possible reasons, I think, is a little bit of climate change. I don't think there's so much water around as there used to be, and I think that's going to make a difference on where things are grown within the world. I think Cornwall being south and west will pick up as much rain as there's going to be. And I think probably the future for Cornwall in food production is going to be pretty good.
It seems huge, the whole climate change thing, huge and remote, yet really threatening as well. I mean, ultimately, if the sea levels rose by 5 metres, my house would be underwater. Climate change and the recession and stuff, I do think there's going to be a lot of changes. I don't think it's going to be as easy as it is now for people to get jobs and to like make a living and stuff like that. So I think it is going to get harder. But you suppose you don't really know what's around the corner, so it could change completely. Well, it hasn't really affected it much so far, but I think if it gets way worse, then it'd have to make changes, and I think people would. I don't know, I think there might be like more solar panels or more windmills and stuff like that. But apparently there was going to be windmills, but people objected, so I don't actually know.
Well, we've not long had this great farm fields being turned or wanting to be turned into solar farms. There was one up at Brill, I think, which caused major hoo-ha. Nobody wanted, or very few, I think, didn't really want... I think they want the solar power, but they didn't want that on their doorstep.
You know, people want to be sustainable, but not like that.
I wouldn't have wanted it there. I can see the solar power, but I can't see having a great so many acres of panels on quality farmland.
The Earth has spent now hundreds of millions of years burying carbon. And we figured out, more or less coinciding with the Industrial Revolution, how to take that carbon out and burn it for energy. And the Industrial Revolution really, you know, it only took off in like the 18th century. That's no time at all. The Earth's human population has mushroomed during that time to a staggering degree. We're still completely dependent on fossil energy, and our dependency and our use of it is going up year on year, and it's going to run out.
Yeah, you never know. One day we might have our own power station here, albeit little, by the wind, by wave, by solar, but not in the great parks. So, you know, we might be completely alone and have our own fuel supply.
That actually we will make all the right moves and we'll do the right things, and life actually will probably become better rather than worse. But that's maybe me being overly sunny and optimistic, I don't know.
Progress is a thing that happens right throughout the world, isn't it? You know, it's just you keep up the times and you have more, and you just keep up with technology, and you've got to have progress, haven't you? You can't live in the past. It's nice to have lived in the past, but you've got to live in today's world as well, haven't you? Mm. It's nice to look back. Mm. And I accept that the village has changed and we're all busier and got cars and we all go our different ways, and it's just the way of life.
And all the food would be local, but then quite a bit of it is anyway. And there would be buses going into town instead of individual cars.
What do you need in life?
I don't know, maybe there'd be people working in allotments and a lot more homegrown food.
Are you happy? You got a bit of sunshine, did you?
Just for amazing. Just a couple of minutes, and it was lovely. You could really feel the warm.
There might be a rather good magnolia for life here. But it's so high up.